Christoph.
Thank you, Daniel. Good evening, everyone. It is a really great privilege to be with you guys. And when Daniel took up horse riding, we knew. Now he's now really dying to self. He'll do anything to pursue Villa. And I remember him with that silly hat and I don't know what else, pursuing Villa. Nah, just joking. Yeah, so it was good times. Villa grew up in Ceres. And I see a few familiar faces. It's good to see you. And it's a privilege for me and my wife to be here. We and my third daughter. Sorry putting you on the spot. But so we've got four children. I'm a crybaby. I was up here praying with, only listening to what the young people were praying, and I was in tears. Thank you for your heart of prayer. Really expectant for God to move amongst us and in your community. I was standing over there and worshiping with you guys, and I was thinking of me. I don't know what the average age is here, but I'm not that old. I was just very naughty. That's why I'm that gray. I was thinking, where would I have been on a Sunday night? So I'm just excited that you guys are here. It's you can just give the Lord a clap for that. And that He brought you guys here and that you are here. You cannot invest your time in a better way. And I just want to encourage you as younger generation. Guys, I'm quite close to the end of my English. I'm not used to speaking that much English on one day. I was here this morning as well, and normally my tongue gets as thick as a budgie or something, and the words is just gone, so I'll keep on trying. I hope there's someone close by to help me when I'm hucking with all the English. But anyway, so what was I saying? Yeah, I just want to encourage you guys. Sure, I was rebellious like many young people. And if there's something that I regret in life, is that I only came to the Lord at 33 and that I've wasted many years getting to know Him better. And tonight, it's more or less more than 20 years since I came to the Lord and He brought me. I don't think I came, He brought me. I was kicking and screaming, and I just want to say, what a privilege to know Jesus. What a privilege to follow after Him. Please, if you are here and you don't even know Jesus, keep on coming. He will open your eyes. He says, if you seek me, you will find me. And I think sometimes in life, like I used to do, I try Jesus. I don't find any joy in it, and I walk away. And it took me 10 years after God was so faithful, talking to me, revealing Himself in that 10 years, but just a rebellion in my heart, keep on walking away until I couldn't anymore. So, I was just so grateful to see you guys here, and may you continue to pursue God. I think we've sang some of it tonight. Pursuing God is a lifelong journey, and it's sometimes really tough. The choice I make to come, it's also a choice I'm committing to say yes for the rest of my life. And it's tough. Sometimes we think we can come and now it's going to be. I shared this morning, and I don't know about you, but this life I experience as tough. There's three things that we all have in common. Sin, suffering, and death. Sorry for going so deep. None of us escaped these three. None. Jesus came to answer all three. And I think as a young person, I had so many questions. Just life didn't make sense to me. If He's good, if He's all powerful, why is this world looking like it is? Why so much suffering? Why so much pain? And if I can just give a little bit of advice on that, every time you see pain, you're experiencing suffering, it has to show you and to scream out to you, something is wrong with this world. Something is wrong. And what is wrong is that we chose to live by our own standards and rules and will and not in fellowship with God. Everything that we see that is questioning a good God is the result of mankind's rebellion to come to the place of rest that God is inviting all of us to. And so I just want to maybe, you know, I make the mistake of trying to pitch the whole Bible in one sermon, but it doesn't work well. But just to make sure that we're on the same page here, and if we're not, it's also okay. My question, if someone asks you, what is this book about? What is the Bible about? And I want to just use, I don't know, I presume younger people loves movies. Most of them do watch movies all the time. And the question is, what is the storyline of 99.9% of movies that we watch? And before we just go quickly through what the movie storylines usually is why are we watching these movies over and over and over, and Hollywood keeps on producing them and we keep on watching them? And all movies has basically four scenes. In the beginning, everything is good. A villain appears and everything turns sour. And everyone is waiting for the hero to arrive in town. And when he arrives, everybody has to choose. Are we going to support the villain, or are we supporting the hero? And in most movies, I like to watch them, the hero wins and everything is good again. Why are we watching these movies over and over? Because deep in us is a thirst for the truth. Because that's the story that we find ourselves in. That is the story of the Bible. That is the story that Hollywood keeps on producing, trying to satisfy something in us that only God can do. All right. So if you are ever confused about what's going on, and I'm confused many times in this life, and I had to remind me, what is life about? And those four scenes just gives it to us. In the beginning, God created, and everything was good. Satan came to deceive. Adam and Eve said yes, and everything turned sour. And life is tough. Life is tough for Christians and non-Christians. And everything you ask, what's going on? I want to remind you, you've got to think, something is wrong with this life. This is not what God intended. There's something else in the future. But the hero has come. Jesus has come. The victory is won. The battle will be finished at the end. And everything will be well again. And in the meantime, all of us has to choose. Where are we siding? So that's the basics of what the Word teaches. From beginning to end, all the stories, all the history, all the teachings of Jesus is inviting us to this. And if life is confusing and life is tough, there's not something wrong with you when you think life is tough. It is. And I think maybe just something else. When Jesus invites us in Matthew 11, he says, everybody who's tired and burdened, come to me and I'll give you rest. And he says, my yoke is easy and light. It doesn't mean life becomes easy and light. It means we've got someone with us in the yoke that is pulling weight that we cannot pull. But we are still pulling weight. As a Christian, we'll still be pulling weight in this life. The difference is we are not alone. And the Father has sent his Son. So just as basics of the gospel, maybe one more thing that I just want to leave with you guys is, What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? If we have to summarize it. And I would say the first thing that the disciples of a rabbi did is they journeyed with him. So the first thing that God invites you to is just to be with him. Nothing else. Just to be with him all the time. Be with him. He's everywhere. There's no place that me and you can go, and he's not already there. So it's the first thing to be with God. The second thing is they learned his teachings. What is he teaching? What is the lifestyle? What is the principles? What is the truths that he's teaching? And the third thing, as he's teaching us and as we are spending time with us, we are transformed to be like him. So it is becoming like Jesus, being transformed from glory to glory. That's the third thing. And the fourth, and that's it, I think, is to continue his work. So if it's, because I like simple, I didn't say, I'm actually a farmer. That's why I don't have much English. But I'm a farmer. I left farming in end of 29. Started full-time working with the congregation. And from 2020, I'm back in the marketplace for 3 days a week and 2 days a week with the congregation. I like things simple. If they're too complex, they're confusing for me. I want them simple. So if you're asking what it is about following after Jesus, I think those four things will help, be helpful. Just keep on journeying with him. Stay with him. Learn his teaching. Spend time in the word. Come together as fellow believers, whether it's here or your small group or your friend. Come together. Keep on studying the word. Learn from one another. Become like him. I think that's one of the things that the world has against the church. See, you are teaching all these things, but you don't become like Jesus. I think it was Gandhi that said, I like Jesus, but I don't like his church. And that was his problem, because so many times we struggle to be transformed and to become like Jesus. And then, of course, he gave us a job to do. Not to earn anything, just because we're so excited. We just overflowed with gratitude to continue the work. And we want others to taste and see that the Lord is good. If you ask me why the Bible is truth, gee whiz, I struggled really to believe in the Bible. And obviously, it wasn't me. It was Jesus at the end that helped me to believe the word. And all grace to him, all glory to him. Today, I believe it from beginning to end as it is. Don't make it too complex. If I don't understand it previously, I would say, then I don't believe it. My dad used to say to me, if you can figure out God with your mind, I don't want to worship that God. Yeah, I think he's right. So many times in this life, we would see dimly. We would see partly. We won't see complete. And sometimes God does help us to see. I'll take your ice cream afterwards. I remember one of my biggest pains in life was I have the heart of a father because I had a real father and I lost him when I was young. I said, how can a good God do that? How can I lose a father? And I had to deal with that pain and rebellion against God. Today, it's 30 years in August. Where are we? July, August. The 4th of August, it's 30 years. 31 years, I've lost him. And if you have to ask me today whether I'll choose the life before 33 with my dad or this life without my dad, the choice is easy. I choose this life without my dad. If God has to use, because I believe the word teaches that life and death is in the hand of God. There's nothing else that can take my dad. No one. It's in his hands. And how tough it may be for some of us listening to this, going through the same or even a worse experience. But the word teaches. And I think that's why I choose to believe what the word says. It's the only way I have foundation for this life. Otherwise, I have to make up my own mind how things work. And that's dangerous. It's sandy soil. But if God says he determines life and death, he determines the number of our days, I can believe it or not. I believe it is in the word of God. So he determined the days of my life, the number of the days of my father. And today I have to say, if I had to go through that to see Jesus. So I'm just in the introduction, I'm sorry. I just want to make sure we're on the same page, because there's so many gospels out there. Suffering is part of a Christian life. Jesus promised it. You're experiencing it. Is there believers that are experiencing suffering or not? Looks like it. So if anyone invites you to Jesus, everything is going to be good. Run. Run. He's talking not about the Jesus of the Gospels. He's talking about another one. I wanted to end off by saying one more thing. Can't remember. So I think I want to share this evening just a truth that all of us has heard over and over and over. But I think because the group up there prayed for it, I trust the Lord that he will do something in our hearts today, which only he can do. None of my sharing can do it. Only the Lord can do it. Let's close our eyes and pray. Father, thank you that we can come tonight and just sit in your presence, Lord. Thank you that you are here. Thank you, Lord, for everyone that is making this possible, Lord, that we can come together like this as your children. And Father, tonight, I want to pray as we read your word, that your word, Lord, will be powerful in each one of our lives, Lord. That it will cut through marrow and bone in the name of Jesus. Father, I know that all of us is here for a reason, Lord. And we ask of you that you will meet each one of us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Just want to open this. So, before I read, I just want to maybe share something which nothing of what I share, I thought out myself. I'm borrowing from someone in some way. If you ask me, why do I believe this book? Why do I believe the Bible? And my wife will testify, when I was younger, I listened to all the best, what do you call the guys, apologists. I listened to them all. I wanted to mimic them. I wanted to know it. I want to know how to go about why this is true. And that is all good, and it's wonderful. But in a way, I lost my appetite for it. Because I've been going for the last, I don't know how many years, to Malawi. Or just a normal man on the street. All those abilities and skill means nothing. All the fancy, and I'm a fancy sounds like I'm negative about it. It's not. It's just not helpful for the ordinary man in all these arguments about why this word is true. Maybe just an example. There's two ways to find out whether honey is honey. And the one has to send it to the lab, and the scientific analysis comes back and it says it's honey. Oh, I can. And this is honey. All right. So in the same way, I want to encourage you, read it, eat it, taste it, and it will taste honey. It meets every desire of my heart if I spend time here. It meets me like a puzzle that's missing. And that's why I believe it's true, because of what God is doing through this word of Him. Let's read together from Ephesians 3, verse 14. So I had the privilege of growing up with a dad that really loved me. He had his brokenness, and he made his fair amount of mistakes, like all dads do. If you want to know about mistakes and brokenness, get my daughter aside and ask her. She'll be able to tell you. God's heart was that a father would show his heart to their children. But as society goes, many of us doesn't grow up with a healthy picture of a father. I had the privilege of growing up with this father that really today, if I look back, I had to say he did a pretty great job of being showing me the image of the father, of the real father. And then I lost him, and I knew what it was to be without a father. So God broke my heart for people who were struggling to have good relationship with their fathers. When I got to Sirius, I would ask young men, did your dad ever tell you that he loves you? Did he love you? Yes, he did. I said, did he ever say it to you? I can't remember him saying it ever to me. How did you know that he loved you? I think if I listened to the way he talked to other people, I think he loved me. So we grow up in homes that is not always healthy in our relationship to the father, to our own father. And many of our men walking around with wounds because fathers are absent, or they are there and still absent because the busyness of this life is just taking it. And I think then we come to the real father and we really struggle to relate to the love of the father. We struggle to relate to that love. And if there's something that I want to encourage us, is that to wrestle to find the revelation of the love of the Father. I want to maybe first read from Matthew 17, verse 5. Sorry, I'm... didn't bring an English Bible, I'm sorry. I'm going to read in Afrikaans. Hopefully you've got English in front of you and someone will translate. And in 17:5, God the Father is speaking to Jesus. And he's saying the following words. Many of you have heard it. Maar terwyl Jesus nog praat, oordek in helder glansende wolk hulle, en daar kom 'n stem uit die wolk wat sê, hy is my geliefde seun. Hy is 'n kind so na my hart. Doen wat hy vir my sê. Doen wat hy vir julle sê. While he was yet speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice of the cloud saying, out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased, hear him. So I just want to show you four things that the father is saying to Jesus. First he says, this is my beloved. And I think coming to Jesus, it is the first thing that he desires us to know from him. But because of our broken relationships in life, it's probably the one that we most struggled with, is to feel beloved. And the second is, my son talks about identity. So to find our identity in God, in whom I'm well pleased. Affirmation. I don't know what culture you grew up, but affirmation wasn't much where I grew up. Showing mistakes was plenty, but affirmation was lacking. And maybe it's something that we can turn around as a next generation. And then he says, listen to him. He gives him authority. Four things that the father does with his son. But the first thing, and I was reading the scripture for many years, and then the Lord asked me, do you think the order is important? And I felt the Lord said to me, beloved is the first thing that I want everyone to know when they come to me, that they are beloved. What does it mean to be beloved? And we really struggle with that because our love doesn't work like the Father's love. When God says, you are beloved, it means that he loves you for you. He doesn't love you for him. But that's the way we love. I thought I loved my wife, but I actually only loved myself. You know, she must be like this and this and this and this and this. What is that? That's self-love. That's not loving my wife. Jesus and the Father doesn't love like that. They love you for you. He wants what is best for you. He's not loving you to serve him. And I think many times the church or the world can present that type of love, but that's not the Father's love. The Father's love is one directional. He loves you so that the best will be for you. That is to be beloved. You can be safe with him. He loves you so that it will be the best for you. It doesn't need anything in return. He's complete. Doesn't need anything back. So I was, obviously, the scripture, I've shared it many times. And then I read the scripture in Ephesians 3. So I want us to turn, if someone can, just 3, verse 7, verse 14. Ephesians 3, verse 14. Let's turn to Ephesians 3, verse 14. Have we got it there? So I read the scripture, and while we're getting it up there, I read the scripture, and I thought about the scripture, and I had to say to myself, this scripture is not true in my life. We're not getting it. Okay. Let's see if I quickly find it on my phone. So it's Paul. Paul is praying for the congregation of Corinth, of Ephesians. So he's now praying for them. And the question is, what will Paul pray for them? So I read this, and it goes, for this reason I bow my knees unto the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, that you may be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. So, if we think about all the emotions that goes through us just in a day, how many of them is not strength but weakness? I'm going to put them now up and we can have a look at them. And all of them is away from the strength, the inner strength that God wants for you and me. So he wants us to have strength in the inner man. Okay? Verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, to the end that you, being rooted and grounded in love. I just want to stop it there. So, when I read it, I said, God wants you to be rooted and grounded in love. Whose love? His love for you. And I read it and I realized, I'm not always rooted and grounded in his love. I'm operating like an orphan from time to time. More often than I like to. And it's this feeling of shame, not good enough. I don't know if it really is for me or against me. These feelings would come very often to me. And I read the scripture that Paul wants the church, each one of us, to be rooted in love. So a discussion that I had with Marinda, I think over the last month, is something that I see that we confuse is, I would hear that someone will say to another person, you make me feel that I'm not good enough. And then we equate not being good enough with you love me or not. Am I correct? Do we go through that? Okay. The thing that I hope it helps us, can we just get it out there? We are not good enough. Can we say it to one another? We are not good enough. We are missing it every now and then. Turn to your friend and say, yeah, we are not good enough. If it comes to God's standard, we are not good enough. And just by a show of hands, do you agree with that? To God's standard, yeah, we're not good enough. Fair. So don't get into that politics. It's not about being good enough. We are not. That's the wonder of God's love. He loves me in whatever state I am. His love is not determined by my goodness. Don't confuse the two. When he's coming to us and speaking into our lives, whether it's through the word or through a friend, it is because he loves us. He won't leave us there. So don't confuse God's love with, oh, I'm not feeling good enough. Oh, man, that's just stupid. No, make peace with that. We are missing God's standard most of the time. That's the beauty of God. When he has to say to Peter, go away from me, Satan. You're a stumbling block. And he uses the same Peter to change the world. That's God. When I read that about Peter, it gives me hope for myself. Because I'm a stumbling block very often. But it doesn't change God's love for me. He sent Jesus to die so that I can accept him and there's no more separation between me and him. And he wants that love to come to me. And when I'm walking in that love that he has for me, I can overcome and start growing. Become more holy. Become more bold. When I'm supposed to be shy, I'm bold. So please don't confuse good. Now, it's because Jesus is good that we can enter. It's not because we are good. Don't go into that. Otherwise, we'll never make it because we are not never going to be good enough. We're going to miss it. God loves us with our mistakes. He loves us in our sin. He doesn't leave us like that. But that's not the reason. I think that's the one big difference between Christianity, believing in Jesus, and all other faiths. We are not working our way towards something. He worked his way down to us so that we cannot work anything on our own behalf. He's the only one that came to us. All other religions we have to go to whoever. That's the difference. So I read the scripture and I said, gee, my emotions, my feelings is all over the place from time to time. What is going on with me? If he loves me, why am I so unstable in my emotions? And I shared it with my family and I said to them, I trust God by the end of this year, this is going to change. Not by me, I'm trusting him. And I'm just sharing this with you because I think it's the attack that comes to us, and especially to young people, more often than we like. Does God love me? Am I good enough? And the Father wants to say to each one of you, it doesn't matter how good or how bad you are. His love is there for you. His love is there for you so that you can become who he intended you to be. Not to deserve anything, because that's the best for you. God loves you for you, not for him. He's not in need of any man or woman. So let's just continue the scripture. He wants us to be grounded in that love. May be strong to apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the height and the length and the depth. And to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. I just want to go to the Afrikaans here. The Afrikaans uses, when I read this, verse 19. Dan sal julle Christus se liefde wat alle verstand te bowe gaan, nie ken nie. Want as ek vir jou sê ken, we think here. The know here is here. So the Afrikaans is using the word experience, belief. And what God's desire is that you will experience his love. And when I read it, I said, but I know it. But I don't know it always. I'm struggling to have it here. And I just prayed very often when I didn't feel loved. And I shared it with them. I said, please pray with me. I want this thing to go away. I'm just tired of it. And we just started praying. Every now and then I would feel that same old bad feelings. I'll just put up some of them right now. And in that moment, a scripture from Colossians 3:15. It became I would describe it just as a ref with a whistle. Colossians 3:15. Let's read it. Maybe it makes sense to you. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. So, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Who's with me that many times God's peace is not with me, it's leaving me? So there's more people, or it's only me that struggles with that. Seems to me everyone. So it became like a whistleblower. Our politics needs more, but let's not go there. Like a whistleblower in my life. If any of the feelings is coming up, that is not peace. And there's many. And they are often there. And all of them make me feel unloved. This whistle will blow. And the Spirit will say, what's wrong? Why are you thinking like that? Why are you feeling this? The Father loves you. And I would stop right there and I didn't try anything. I've tried a lot in my life. I'm old enough to try a lot. It never worked. And I don't want to make a recipe. I just want to encourage you guys to know the love of the Father. I would stop and I would say these next words, Jesus, help. I would stop and I would say, Jesus, helps me. Help me. And you know, over time, I can share a few things. Over time, I looked back and I realized things have changed for me by the grace of God. Not by any recipe or any action from my side. I think so many times we think A to Z, we've got to do this and that. And now, you know, man, I've been to a lot of counseling. I've been to a lot of courses. And all of them is good. But just engage with God. He wants you to know that he loves you. He wants you to know that your heart is grounded in his love. It doesn't matter what happens. Whether it's suffering or sin, or whether it's death around you, or maybe your own coming, doesn't matter what's happening in this life. God wants you to know that he loves you. So can we just get that half circle? I don't know if it's possible. I don't know if you can see there. Can you read it? So I had this half circle, and from time to time, I think basically over 5 years, I would sit from time to time every 6 months, and I would go through it, and I would circle three of the most common emotions and feelings that comes up. I would just circle them. I'm struggling with, I don't know if I could be that honest now, I've struggled with most of them, but so I would circle, I'm feeling lonely, I'm feeling depressed, and I'm ashamed. I would circle them. Say, Lord, I struggle with these. Maybe share it with a mentor, a friend, or someone close to me, my wife, I'm struggling with this. And I would just keep on circling every 6 months and bring these emotions before God and say, Lord, you meant that I would have peace in my heart. Not all these things that comes along every day. I'm insecure. I'm overwhelmed. It just, life feels just too much. It's just, I can't take it anymore. And I had to do things to help with feeling overwhelmed. I'm jealous. I'm irritated. There's a few that I circled a lot. Critical. Irritated. Angry. Frustrated. I circled them quite often. And all of them is feelings that is the opposite of feeling the love of the Father. Doesn't matter the circumstances. Doesn't matter my state. Feeling the love of the Father. So I want to encourage you tonight to desire to feel the love of the Father. Not to know it. That's good as well. Read it. Romans 2, I think it's verse 4 that says, it is the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. It's not his judgment. If we read, we all know it, John 3, 16 and 17. God het die mensdom so lief gehad dat hy sy enigste seun gegee het, sodat elkeen wat in hom glo nie verlore kan gaan nie, maar die ewige lewe sal hê. God het immers nie die seun in die mense wêreld gestuur om hulle te veroordeel nie, maar sodat mense deur hom verlos kan word. God's heart is to show his love to his people. And that we, when you have come to him, would not walk like an orphan, but that would walk like a son and a daughter. So I had this chap, he prayed for me one night, and I knew God is busy with me. He said to me, because as Donald has shared, I had the heart of some kind of a father heart since I came to the Lord. And then many years later, a young chap prayed for me, didn't know me from nowhere, and he looked at me and he said, Lord, you have given him the heart of a father. Won't you also give him the heart of a son? Because I had the heart of an orphan. And you're not a very good father if you have the heart of an orphan. And I presume some of you are married. Most of you want to get married. And there will be children. And I want to encourage you to know the love of the Father for yourself, so that you can love others better. Show the image of God better. But if you are not feeling good enough, you are not feeling accepted before God, this is my beloved son and my beloved daughter. And I just don't allow those emotions to run. Stop and say, Lord, help me. And over time, it became less and less to stop. I don't know where the worship team, maybe they can come up. Maybe we can close with the song. I thought maybe the second song that you led us earlier in, or if you got something else. I just want to pray for us before we close in worship. So let's close our eyes and just pray together before we close in a worship song. Father, thank you that tonight I can pray for every person present, Lord, that they will know that you are good. I want to pray, Lord, that we will know what it means when you say that you are sovereign over this world and everything in it. I want to pray, Father, that we will come to you and lay down our lives so that we can receive the peace that you meant for us, Lord. Just as we sit, I just want to, maybe your eye has caught one emotion on that half circle. Maybe you just know what emotions you are struggling with. I just want to pray over you. God has called you to peace. Don't try and fix it yourself. Don't try and sort it out. Ask for his help. When the emotion comes, when the thoughts come, just stop. Say, Lord Jesus, help me. I'm thinking this way again. I'm feeling this emotion again. I want to encourage you, just, I think one of the things that helped me through life after accepting Jesus was being transparent. To be transparent to someone. Someone you can trust. And sometimes you have to risk to know trust and to earn trust. Go to someone. Share it. Say, please pray for me. Please keep me accountable when you hear me talk. I feel maybe just as a symbolic act, I want to invite you to stand just before we start with worship. Maybe tonight you feel that, sure, there's wounds that you want God to come and heal. As we stand, I just want to give you a moment to whatever emotion, whatever wound from the past, maybe it's a father relationship thing that you want to bring before God tonight. And maybe if you want me to pray with you just during the worship song, just to come forward, I would love just to pray with you. Maybe you're here tonight and you haven't responded to the invitation of Jesus that says, come to me and follow me. Maybe tonight you just have a desire to respond, to say, Lord, here I am. I want to follow.